Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
This is Pool Party Radio, the podcast where we talk about I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by Jason Race Blades Frisbee.
American badass, watch me kick. You can roll with rockers, you can suck my dick. I'm a porno flick, I'm like Amazing Grace. I'm gonna fuck some hoes after I rock this place.
Oh, God. Every single week is the same. Same thing, isn't it?
Level of hilarious, rockin'. Pump starting, jump starting, the pumped up rock that is your theme song.
No.
It doesn't get you pumped up to do a podcast?
I'm very done with this podcast theme music.
Nah, man.
I mean, you can use this for Robo John Brown after I'm gone. How is Robo John Brown today?
Oh, man, he's doing good. If you didn't know, we're trying out a new co-host. He's our co-host intern because Jason Razorblades Frisbee is leaving the show. And he's John Brown. How you doing over there, John Brown?
Hallelujah, holla back.
John Brown was once a contestant on The White Rapper Show. How do you feel that he's doing? How do you like his performance so far, Jason?
I thought I was starting to warm up to him last week. Embarrassed to admit it, actually. When we had the Badland Girls on, he was right in there with everybody. It was seamless, really. I mean, who was his pick for the Avengers draft that we did?
I don't remember. What was your pick, John Brown?
Randolph.
Yeah,
Randolph. That's right, Randolph.
A good pick, I suppose.
Yeah, whoever Randolph is.
I mean, I'm sure that Randolph would just be one small piece of his Avengers team, though.
Then we can build off it.
Beautiful. See, it's even as a robot, or even as a white rapper robot, I should say, he's up there. I'm sure he'll do a bang-up job, and I'm going to be moving on to other things. So, yeah.
What's going on with your other things? Sexy things. Other sexy things that you'll be doing.
Well, hopefully some sort of relationship talk podcasts. As we were mentioning last week, I'm trying to, ever since I got this email from Roxy of Acid Pop Cult, we've been trying to figure out something to do to join our forces. She mentioned Unspeakable Things on a new podcast, and I have to admit, I'm struggling to know what that is, but I'm totally down for it. So I'm really just putting all my chips on the table, laying it all out there, and yeah, we'll figure it out. It'll be something. I'll let you know when it drops. And until then, I guess people can just send in relationship questions to poolpartyradio@gmail.com, and we'll just go from there. I mean, I hope you don't mind. It's kind of a pain in the butt to get another email thing going at the start here, so I'm just going to use stuff that we already have.
That's fine. Or you can send a non-relationship question or comment to poolpartyradio@gmail.com and talk about things we've talked about on the show. How are you liking John Brown? How are you liking other things? Sherlock homophobia. Let us know what's going on.
You want a new bit or anything like that? We'd be happy to oblige. Any topics, too, I'm still here.
Yeah. Do you think that teachers aren't just babysitters? Let us know about that.
There are actually some emails related to me this week that I'd like to get into.
All right, let's get into these emails.
All right, well, there it is. Hopefully, one of the last times I'll be hearing that song.
You're telling me you're not going to have Kid Rock on your new show?
I am writing that into the contract. That is, it's a no Kid Rock zone, no Kid Rock allowed. Our first email comes from one of our favorite email segment writers. It's Blake, and he says, "Hey there, just wanted to share a dream I had last night. I'll preface it by saying I can only count on one hand the amount of parties I've ever been to with one Frisbee." He cites various beer tastings, my graduation party, Parker's going away party, and my own going away party. And he says, in fact, we've hung out a very short amount of times in total. For his credit, there were a lot of libations and a couple of comedians at his last party I was around for that said, I seem to have had this dream about Frisbee's birthday party, which had a Ferris wheel, one of those octopus rides, carnies, chicks, babes, dames. It was essentially St. Peter's fair. This is over in Huber Heights. It's a yearly carnival affair type fair. In a field somewhere, and I don't know if it was just from his intro or what, but Kid Rock was there too. This is not the first time I've had a dream about the glorious party that is Frisbee's birthday. I don't even really know or remember when his birthday is. But this dream had happened more than once. Frisbee doesn't act differently in the dreams. He just has a blowout of a party that rivals all birthday parties preceding it. In the dream, I only had a bit part, serving homebrew and chasing ladies, but will this party ever happen? And will it be at a zoo or so that I can give dolphin pills for their ills? Not enough nicknames to have a show, Blake Sell. And the title is Razor Blades or B-Day Bash. It's a pretty great email title as well.
I love
That's interesting. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love that Blake Sell. He's a nice guy. He sends us emails a lot.
Yeah, thanks for the email, Blake. And thanks for sharing the dream scenario. I didn't realize this. I've actually had dreams where Blake's been involved, where I'll be like in one of those, I call them like corridor dreams, where you just keep opening doors and it leads to a different room or place altogether. Have you ever had those?
Yeah, I think so.
It's kind of like that, the video Everlong.
Yeah.
From Foo Fighters, where he keeps opening those doors and he eventually reaches a room that has a giant phone in it.
Yeah, well, I've seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space too many times, so when I have that dream, the only thing behind the door is another smaller door.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like that. And more people, too. Like, it's a party atmosphere with solo cups and, you know, darkness and people just standing around talking and whatnot. That's what it's usually like, and I'll usually see, I can identify Blake there. What was the wildest party that you've had, Parker?
This one time, we had me and Jono and my friend Doobie were living in this house in Dayton, and we decided to move out because, like, our landlord sucked. Like, our water would periodically get turned off for no reason, and, like, our electricity and stuff, and then, like, the landlord would come over a couple of days later and be like, sorry, I forgot to pay your electricity bill and all this. Here's $10 out of my pocket to make up for you guys not having electricity for 4 days. So we hated that guy. So we moved out, and we threw a big party. And it was pretty intense. Like, we broke a big hole in the wall, and then people would go inside the hole and pee. And so I think that's where everybody peed that night, so that was pretty cool. And then Jono and Weesey started wrestling, and they broke one of my old roommates who had moved out but left all his stuff. They broke all his furniture by elbow dropping each other on the furniture. So that was pretty cool. And a bunch of other crazy shit happened. Actually, Kevin Moss, his band, the Northwest Ordnance, played in the basement that night. And then the cops showed up and I got a ticket for like $150. And everybody at the party was like, hey, we'll pitch in on that because this was a sweet party. And then nobody pitched in on it after they sobered up, which is kind of rude, but
yeah. That sounds pretty typical.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's whatever. The irony, though, is that the cops were called on us by our neighbor. This guy, he has some wacky name. I forget his name. But this neighbor, the entire time I lived there for like 2 years, every night at like 5 a.m, he would get like super wasted and like super fucked up on drugs and start playing Motley Crue, like super crazy loud. And the irony being, like, I was always cool. I'm like, hey, if this guy wants to party, whatever. Like, I'll let him party. I'm not no narc. I'm not going to ruin anybody's party by calling the cops. But this called the cops on me. That son of a bitch. But anyway, yeah, that was a crazy party. And that's the kind of party you should aspire to have, where people pee in a wall.
See, I don't know if I know those kind of people. Like, anymore, at least. Because I know people you mentioned, Weesey's over in Portland. And Jono is everywhere. He's omnipotent. It's hard to pin that guy down.
He's like Thanos.
Yeah, he is. He's got the glove and everything. But yeah, I don't really have the capacity to do a party like that. I like showing up at parties like that. I don't remember if I was actually at that one you just mentioned. Like, it has all the makings of a party that I would have been totally into going to, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, I think if you were there, you would have remembered. Oh, also, that I kicked Jono in the nuts like 20 times. It was so fun.
Yeah, this sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't think I was there. Well, I think I was
I went through this whole phase where I thought that kicking Jono in the nuts while he was, like, talking to people that he knew was, like, the funniest joke that could ever happen.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was a fun phase of my life. It was, like, 3 years long where I thought that was the best thing I could possibly do.
Yeah, in a way it is. I mean, that's... I don't need you to legitimize that or anything. That's totally understandable. But yeah, I don't have the capacity to do that. Like, I don't live in a house like that or anything. And I'm pretty much a low-key guy as it is. Maybe a carnival. Maybe a carnival is probably where I'm headed. You might have a point here.
Yeah. Speaking of your birthday parties and stuff, though, I want to get to the bottom of this. 1 year, and I feel bad about this because I have this thing where I'm, like, real shitty at buying people gifts. Like, real shitty at it. Like, tremendously shitty. In 1 year, I got you a David Bowie record that you left at Jess's house for your birthday. Did you already have that record? Do you not like that record? What happened?
This is funny you bring this up, because I recently just sold my entire record collection. I had about 2 milk crates full. I think you got me Young Americans, if I'm not mistaken, because that was one that I had liked, or something to that effect. I mean, you're talking about like an LP, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then yeah, it was probably Young Americans. The copy that I did have belonged to my dad, and there was some divot on one of the tracks. Like, it was a meteorite-sized divot on this record, which can just ruin that experience. So, I mean, I didn't have a playable copy. I think you probably got me a playable one. But yeah, I just recently sold all that stuff, because I used to have the capability to play records. I had a turntable and all this, and a large stereo setup, but I had to get rid of everything because I did not have the stereo setup anymore.
I don't know. I recently went through a phase where I thought records were, like, kind of awesome. Like, I've gone my whole life hating them and thinking people who collect them are just trying to hold on to some garbage and, like, be cool and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, my wife, she's really into them. So she was like, hey, I'll just buy you, like, a couple of records that, like, you're really into, and then you'll get into them. And, you know, this is going to be great. You'll see the error of your ways. And So I got, like, a Weaker Than's album and, like, some Teenage Bottle Rocket and, like, some Sloppy Seconds and stuff. And I've got, you know, I've, like, got a couple from, like, throughout the years. Like, You Got Me the Break-In soundtrack, which I still have. And I've got, like, some Stunt Rock and stuff. And the Invader Zim soundtrack I have.
Oh, wild.
Yeah. So I was, like, into it for a little while. But then, like, now, when I try to play these records that I've had for, like, not very long, they all fucking skip and scratch. Like, they're all scratched up, and they're all skippy and warped. And records suck. You know what doesn't warp? An MP3. It will never warp in your whole life.
Yeah, that was part of the appeal. Like, I mean, it sucked to get rid of these 2 crates of stuff that I've been collecting over the years. And moreover, like, some of that stuff is for nostalgia anyway. Like, I think you're mostly right about that. Like, when I got you that Breakin' soundtrack, it's just because you like the movie Breakin' and Breakin' 2. And I just thought it was kind of a neat piece of art to have, like, hang on the wall or just to bring out and be like, hey, look at this. Well, look at these goofy-ass bastards in their baggy pants.
Yeah, there's that. But also, that soundtrack is sweet.
Yeah, exactly. And that can be, like, the saving grace is that, you know, you have a good condition record. But moving them around and all this stuff, it's like, I was doing that. I was moving them around. And frustrated that I hadn't actually used any of these for, like, going on 2.5 years. I mean, I had not put any of these down onto a turntable and, like, listened to them, because I just didn't have, you know, a high-quality stereo system. So I'm just hauling around these crates of, you know, memories, like, and they weigh a ton, you know? So I'm carrying these around while I'm listening to music willingly and openly on a Spotify account. Like, everything I could ever look for, I'm just looking it up on Spotify or on YouTube and just thinking, what the hell am I doing with myself? Like, this isn't even a workout anymore. It's just backbreaking trying to move this shit. So it was kind of a bummer. It was, but yeah, to answer your question, yeah, I'm pretty sure that album's Half Price Books in Beaver Creek.
Now it belongs to some hipster who's probably melting down the vinyl and putting it into a cast that will turn it into
a candy bowl.
A candy bowl or a fake mustache or whatever it is that those people do.
It's kind of funny that we're so agreeable right now when I'm threatening to leave so readily. Because our other email this week comes from our special guest last week, one of our special guests. It's Rhea D of the Badland Girls at badlandgirls.com and on iTunes. She writes with her email titled Totally Important. Dear Pool Party Dads, please don't break up. Robo John Brown Dad is weird and says weird things and won't buy me dipping dots the way Jason would. I'm pretty confident this email plea will fix all the problems between you two. Best, Rhea. I appreciate that. That's a pretty good plea. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't need the plea. You're the one leaving me, son. I think that you, me, Kid Rock, and John Brown can all have a good show, but you're the one who wants to sex it up.
Yeah, that's true. I was just pointing out that it's a very good email plea. I don't agree with it.
Yeah, it is a good plea. I don't see what the problem with John Brown is, though. I mean, you insult him. It's like you're trying to start some sort of feud with John Brown.
I mean, come on, we're not going to battle.
I mean, yeah, I don't see why you have to say he talks weird.
I didn't say that. That's her words.
Well, that's what Rhea said.
But I agree with it. I think he is weird. I think he says weird things. Like, who says OKKK?
Well, I mean, you know, it's slang, you know? I mean, he's from the burbs.
Which burbs is he from?
I don't know. I don't talk to him that much. I mean, he's an intern.
Okay.
I don't see why you guys have to go around insulting him and all this.
I try to keep my friends close, but my enemies closer.
It's random. Says random things.
He's talking about you. He's trying to keep you close because you're enemies now. Every week you're making fun of him. He's saying he says weird stuff. He's not random at all. These things that he's saying make perfect sense.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, it's that's the direction it's going in. I mean, he sounds so goofy. God damn.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. I keep coming back to it, but he just sounds so ridiculous. Like, I never watched him on White Rapper, so I don't know too much of the context. I just saw a clip compilation of him. It's basically everything he says on our show. So it's just verbatim, like, the same stuff.
I'm human, you know, believe it or not.
No, you're not human, sir. You're like Data from Star Trek Next Gen.
Man, you bummy as hell.
No, I'm not.
All right, well, that's...
I will not get into this with a robot. Thank you. Not to be a robo-racist, but... I cannot stand having this argument with a robot.
What?
You heard me. God, I'm not going to buy into this. Anyway, Rhea, yeah. I owe you and Destiny Dippin' Dots. Well, I guess Destiny is going to have like a vegan imitation Dippin' Dots or something. But yeah, we'll figure something out. It's the ice cream of the future. How can the future not include like all diets?
Dude, Dippin' Dots, like, they're out of business. They don't exist anymore, man.
They don't? I thought they did.
Well, actually, it's funny that we bring this up, because I had Dippin' Dots, the fact that they're, like, bankrupt and no longer exist, on, like, the docket for a lightning round, like, all these many episodes ago. And I think it was Mike Dick who was on that show. You and Mike thought that story was too boring. So no wonder you still think they exist.
Yeah, well...
You got to pay closer attention to the news on this show, Mr.
Well, it is.
I know that 99% of the time it's like about porn stars that are like ODing, but there was very important news one time.
Well, I'm on DippinDots.com right now, and it looks like it's still up and running. And besides, I mean, this is the ice cream of the future. So even though it might not be around right now, who's to say it's not going to be around in the future anyway? It always leaves that possibility open. Yeah, they have like a 4th of July thing going on. Yeah, I don't know, man. Looks like...
Well, maybe they got like a good loan or something.
Yeah, who knows? All right, anyway. Thanks, Rhea, for writing in. And thanks, Blake, for writing in. And if you didn't check out last week's episode with the Badland Girls, or if you haven't been to badlandgirls.com yet, you should definitely check it out.
Yeah, they do a good show.
Hi, friends. I'm Mike. And I co-host a podcast called Kissing Contest. Kissing Contest is a comedy podcast about movies and TV featuring two men that platonically live together in Brooklyn and their producer friend who lives down the street with his own boyfriend, roommate. We love talking about the hottest and hardest industry news and sharing our throbbing opinions on current and not-so-current movies. If this sounds like something you can swallow, check us out on iTunes or visit our site at kissingcontestpodcast.com.
I wanted to talk real quick about the fact that I don't know how to read and I'm very stupid. I was on Twitter the other day and, you know, I follow this podcast called the Dorktown Podcast, and they're out of Fresno, California. And, you know, they put out this tweet. It was like, hey, check it out. You know, we got like our list of like our top 10 favorite podcasts for the month. You know, check it out. And I was like, hey, I'll check this out. I want to see what podcasts are being described as top 10. And so I looked, and Pool Party was on the list. We were on the, they made a list of like normal podcasts, and independent podcasts like ours.
Mm-hmm. Beasting on the independent game.
That's right. And we made it. We were in the top 10. We were number 10 on the independent list. And so I was like real excited. I like retweeted it and, you know, thanked them on the Twitter. And then I went back and, you know, read the rest of the article. And it made it seem like when I was rereading it, it made it seem like this list was not necessarily good, but it was like good and bad. Like that maybe, you know, if you came in at number 10, that meant that they couldn't make it through an entire episode. Like they didn't listen to it really. Like they gave up after a while or like they didn't like it or something. And, that's the way it read to me when I reread it. So then I was like, man, well, I don't want to retweet this and show everybody that we suck. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's bogus. Like, I mean, I'm not like mad at these guys for saying we suck. I mean, that's whatever. People are entitled to their opinions, but I certainly don't want to retweet it and let everybody know that I'm proud that, you know, Pool Party sucks in the eyes of the Dorktown Podcast. So I went out and, I was very immature. I like deleted my tweet, my two tweets. I deleted the retweet and I deleted my thanks to them. And, you know, and I was like, well, all right, I dodged the bullet. Now no one's going to look at this and know that the Dorktown Podcast thinks that we're, you know, 10 out of 10 on the goodness scale. You know, that maybe this 1 to 10 list ranged from good to bad rather than just good to not as good. So I was like, oh, man, I really dodged the bullet there. And then I went back to the website again and reread it. And then there was more. It said, you know, oh, you know, the, you know, we listen to a lot more shows than just these, but these are the best of the best, the cream of the crop. And so I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. It turns out that my original feelings that this was a good list have been reinstated. You know, it was sort of like that Twilight Zone / Simpsons thing. Where, like, you've got the book, and it says, like, how to serve man, and then you wipe off some dust, and it says how to serve man for dinner, and you just wipe it off again, and it's like how to serve man for dinner for two, or, you know, like, you know, it goes.
Yeah, I was thinking of the Simpsons one, actually, yeah. When you were mentioning this, so, yeah, I follow you.
So, then I went back, and, you know, I, like, retweeted it again, you know, just to, like, cover my bases and stuff, because then I was, like, back on track of it being cool. But I didn't want to, like, tweet them again, you know, and like call more attention to the fact that I tweeted them and then deleted it. And, you know, because that's silly.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt weird, you know, and I was like waiting around for them to like reply and be like, hey, why'd you delete those tweets? And then like, I would have to like play it off like, oh, I accidentally deleted them. You know, even though I've been on like Twitter for like 4 years and know exactly how it works, you know, I would like have to play it off like that or be like, you know, I got hacked, you know, wouldn't you believe it?
Yeah, just like a regular Anthony Weiner just got hacked. That explains all your fucking dick tweets as well.
You know, the same guys who hacked Anthony Weiner hacked my account, and the only thing they did was delete my last two tweets, and then they logged back off. But yeah, but they didn't call any attention to it. They like tweeted me back and you know, said that we were welcome to being on their list after I said thanks. And they didn't call attention to the fact that I deleted all that stuff. Thank goodness. They were being very gracious. They either didn't catch on that I deleted these tweets and retweeted them and everything multiple times, or they were just gracious and didn't feel like embarrassing me by bringing it up. But either way, check out the Dorktown Podcast. They think that we're the number 10 independent podcast for the month of June or May or whatever. And that's pretty cool. I've only listened to one or two of their episodes, but I'll listen to more.
And just for Red Band Network shout out, their Dorktown Podcast top 10 from May we were part of the May indie set for the May top 10 of just legitimate set, which includes like What the Fuck with Mark, WTF with Mark Maron, The Nerdist, which came in at number 5, actually. Fellow Red Band Network show Ear Candy came in at number 3, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So, yeah. So yay for Red Band Network and for Ear Candy and Pool Party.
Yeah. So check out those Dorktown guys while you still can, because like I said, they live in Fresno, so it's only a matter of time before they get eaten by, you know, scorpions or spiders or homeless people or coyotes or whatever happens in that crazy, crazy, terrible town of theirs.
Jesus, you mentioned homeless people. That's an actual threat now.
Yeah.
They could be getting high on methamphetamines and eating people's faces off.
Yeah, people around here love methamphetamine and they love bath salts, so they probably live, those Dorktown guys probably live in a constant state of fear. Because that's all their town is homeless people.
Yeah, it's like The Hills Have Eyes. Is that correct?
It's just like that.
Or is it more like the video game Fallout? Because if it's like Fallout, that'd be kind of fun.
I wish it was more like Fallout. But the spiders are a little bit bigger in real life than they are in Fallout. but yeah, that's very nice of you, Dorktown guys. If you're listening to this episode, thank you. You guys are cool. Okay, so now we're going to try a new segment on the show. This is a segment. It's kind of a game show. You know, we got a game show me, game showy type of vibe here on this. It's called Kevin Moss Listens To. That's the name of the game. And Mr. Frisbee, how this works, I'm going to give you the name of a band. You tell me if Kevin Moss of Junk Food Dinner listens to that band.
Now you- okay, this should be exciting because I had met Kevin when I think we were both starting as DJs at our college alma mater of Rice State University. We both had radio shows. My original radio show was actually Pool Party Radio, and I had the worst time slot available. But Kevin Moss, he actually went on to become music director there. So I wonder if, even though it was like almost 10 years ago, if a lot of that stuff still comes into play.
Oh, it does. He knows his music. Does Kevin Moss... more than maybe any man alive. Well, more than maybe anybody I know. Like, Kevin Moss likes good music. He's got his finger on the pulse of music. He's into it. So that's what makes this game so exciting. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
Now, for all the money here, all right?
Okay. No pressure.
No pressure. For all the money, does Kevin Moss listen to Best Coast?
I'm certain he does.
You got that correct, Mr. Frisbee.
Awesome. I'm glad I'm glad I have all the monies now. How much was that, by the way?
All the money.
Okay. That's still really vague.
Actually, intern John Brown is in charge of the money, so...
God damn it.
How much money does this involve, John Brown?
I got so much cash, I can't even bend wallets.
That still sounds like a lot of cash, but I'm not convinced that there's any money involved in this.
Yeah, well, John Brown says that maybe you won't have as much money like after all is said and done.
Pay that Delaware tax.
You gotta pay that Delaware tax, so...
I don't live in Delaware.
You still gotta pay the taxes, man. That's how.
Jesus. We don't know anyone who lives in Delaware.
Well,
God damn.
That's how they're getting you these days with these taxes. You gotta pay your fair share.
Oh, it's the out of state Delaware tax?
Yeah.
You don't live in Delaware? You gotta pay that Delaware tax, son.
Part of the Red Band Network. RedBandNetwork.com. And now.
It's time.
For the lightning round.
First up in the lightning round, we have very exciting piece of news out of Atlanta, Georgia. A Georgia man's death during a threesome nets his family $3 million over the course of a trial. The family of a Georgia man who died when his heart couldn't take a three-way sex romp was awarded a hefty $3 million payout by a jury, according to the family's plea that the doctor did not warn him, this 31-year-old, to stay away from physical activity. What's especially funny about this is that this threesome did not involve this gentleman's wife. It was an act of infidelity with his friend and another woman. So because the family is upset that the husband was not warned of this physical activity, specifically a threesome, creating a heart attack, that they're owed the grievance pay.
If you have sharp pains that go from your heart all the way, like, down your arms, yeah, you probably shouldn't be having threesome sex. You should probably just be in bed waiting for the doctor to tell you whether or not you're going to live or die. It's a no-brainer. You shouldn't have to wait for the doctor to tell you if you're okay to have strenuous activity if your heart hurts you. Who needs a doctor to tell them this? What kind of society do we live in now where you wait for a doctor to tell you if it's okay to have threesome sex despite the fact that you are having a heart attack right now? This is maximum stupidity, I feel.
You gotta admit, though, you kind of won. Like, if you're gonna die, wouldn't you rather die in a threesome?
Well, you would think.
I mean, you're going to die regardless, but how would you want to die? Would you die in a threesome? Would that be one of your options to go?
I guess it would be pretty good. I mean, he's in a threesome with, like, another dude, though, and the other dude didn't die. So, like,
yeah.
You look pretty bad if the other guy managed to live through this threesome and it was too much for your weak heart to take and you got the vapors and you died. It makes you look pretty wussy.
Yeah, I wonder what made it so strenuous. Like, what was the problem? I mean, isn't part of the threesome kind of like being able to tag in and tag out, like in WrestleMania?
Yeah. Maybe he was climbing to the top rope. Maybe it was like the movie The Wrestler. He was climbing to the top rope, and on his way down from the top rope, he may or may not have a heart attack.
Oh, he was doing the Ram Jam. That's what it was.
Spoiler alert, by the way. Like, if it's a little bit hot, like it gets hot here, you know, in the summer, like yesterday it was like 90, and my wife was like, hey, you want to have sex? And I was like, no. It's like 90 degrees. And even in the house, it was like 78 because we had the air conditioning on. Like, it's still too hot. Much less if I was like, if my heart felt like it was stopping. I mean, come on, dude. Use your head. But then again, I mean, I guess if a threesome presents itself, there's no heart attack, no cancer, no stroke deadly enough to keep you out of it, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so. It sucks that that was the last thing. It kind of puts all R&B and soul hits to shame when making love is not the cure-all. In fact, it's what killed this guy. It sucks.
Also, like, they'll probably put that on his tombstone, that, like, you know, as an asterisk, however you say that word, you know, like how when Barry Bonds goes to the Hall of Fame for baseball, like, they're going to put like a little note that says, oh, he was doing a bunch of steroids and stuff, so he's not really in the Hall of Fame, but he like kind of is, you know. And that's what will go in this guy's tombstone. Like, he died having a threesome, but it was a threesome with like one chick and two dudes, so it's like not that cool.
Yeah, an asterisk gravestone for that specific, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, our next news story is something probably just as strange to get uproarious about. Gwyneth Paltrow defends her N-word tweet in stating that it's the title of a song. Apparently, she was actually at this Jay-Z concert in Paris, and she had done a tweet that said simply, N-word in Paris for real, just like the song title, N-word in Paris.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Like, I mean, if it's, like, I understand that, you know, like, it's not a good word and everything, but, I mean, if it's the name of the song, like, I mean, come on. You got to be able to say it then. You got to be able to say it if you're into the song. But then again, nobody on earth is whiter than the wife of the guy from Coldplay. So I do understand that, like, maybe you shouldn't just be tweeting the name of that song. And also, like, add something to it. Like, I mean, it sounds really weird to just tweet the name of the song and then add for real afterwards. Like, I think.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like the sort of, I don't know, the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, like, I mean, maybe if she would have been like, you know, I really like this song, you know, like, that would be all right. But to phrase it like that does sound pretty weird. But then again, like, I mean, if you can't say the name of a song, like, I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to go to Walmart and, like, you know, have like a, you know, like a black section and a white section of rap where, like, on the white section, all the names of the songs are censored? Because white people aren't allowed to have any interaction with these words at all.
That's hilarious. It'd be like the extreme opposite end of segregation.
Yeah.
Because we got so offended and had to tiptoe around these self-referential slang terms or racial terms. This is where we're headed now. Yeah, I don't know. That would be really bizarre. But yeah, I think it's just very odd that Gwyneth Paltrow was getting any attention for this kind of stuff and not more attention for her role in the Avengers.
Yeah.
I don't see how people could get upset, anybody involved with that film.
Well, yeah, this is how short the attention spans of Americans are, where like we have, like just a couple of weeks ago, like the biggest story in the world was like how this guy went out and killed a little kid just because he was black. And like everybody's forgotten about that. Now the most important racial issue in America is whether or not Gwyneth Paltrow tweets the N-word.
Well, let's go on to something even more silly. This is a very progressively silly lighting round. Next one is PETA targets celebrity chef fans with new Silent Scream ad spot. The season premiere of Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen was on June 4th, and PETA has a bone to pick with Gordon Ramsay's screaming. The animal rights group has introduced a new video that shows that while Gordon Ramsay may be able to scream as much as he wants, the screams of fish are silent. Their letter to Fox reads in part, contestants on Hell's Kitchen choose to subject themselves to bullying in the kitchen, but the animals who are cut up and cooked on the show don't have any choice, and they lose their lives, not just their pride.
Yeah, this is ridiculous that PETA thinks that it hurts the self-esteem of dead fish if you yell at them, or if you yell around them. I love this. I love what PETA's up to. They've just got nothing in life that they need to tell Fox that it's not okay for Chef Ramsay to yell at fish that are dead.
I think bullying is still a problem that we don't know how to solve within humans. It just constantly happens. Like I was talking about this earlier, of like previous bullying experiences and how to deal with it. Like I had a minor run-in when I was in middle school. It wasn't like one of these consistent things, but it happened.
Was it with Chef Ramsay? Was he yelling at you?
Yes, it was. He gave me a titty twisters and then he yelled at me.
And then he told you to shut it down.
Yeah. And he called me a fucking amateur. I'm not sure why, but I was trying to make a grilled cheese. That's why.
Yeah.
I put cheese between Ritz crackers instead. I thought that was the same thing.
This is probably a very common argument with PETA. But like right now, there's probably some kid being bullied so hard that he's probably going to kill himself. And, but no, let's worry about the fish that are already dead. When one fish kills himself, maybe start worrying about this.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess that's the where the parallel misses the mark. I mean, with the spousal abuse thing, like two of the three examples involve like violence against women. Maybe that's more of a noble goal.
Yeah, that's probably a little bit more important.
The silent screams of fish, though. I mean, yeah, I don't doubt that animals feel pain or fish feel pain, but a lot of that thought process has got to be, I mean, from some biological standpoint, this is just, how much pride does a fish have? Like they say that they lose their lives, not just their pride. Like, what's the pride of a fish? I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of that's just swimming and, you know, trying to eat something.
Yeah, and it's sometimes you get to help Aquaman solve crimes.
Right.
That's all there is to live for. Also,
and even then, you're not even totally in control. Like, you're being exploited by Aquaman, so I'm sure there's a problem there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I don't think fish feel pain. And also, if they do, fuck them. They're fish. What are they going to do? I mean, you know, they're not going to take that pain and turn it into a beautiful work of art. So I don't give a shit about them. If your species can't turn pain into art, then just fuck yourself. Also, to go back to the thing I said about people getting bullied and stuff, people who kill themselves don't do it because they get bullied. They were just going to kill themselves anyway. I don't actually believe that people are getting bullied to death. Nor do I believe the fish are being bullied to death. And if they were, like, that's the difference. Like, if humans were actually being bullied to death, I would care. But if fish were, I would not care. They're fucking fish. Who gives a shit? There's like 10 zillion of them. And they're tasty as fuck. So if you want to make fun of them before you eat them, go right ahead. Look at you, fish, with your fins and, you know, opposable thumbs, and you're not even bipedal. Fuck you.
Man, you're going to be eating your words one day when a Morrissey-esque fish comes out of the water and releases an album that says, like, fish meat is murder, something like that. Then, then you'll be really pissed.
The more I ignore you, the tastier I get.
You're cooking me on cedar plank.
Yeah. What, like British heart fish blood?
Yep. Yep. Panic in the Bering Strait of London. That's not even the thing. Panic in the in the Thames or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once that album comes out with an adorable fish as a pompadour, man, you'll be eating your words. You'll probably be eating fish too. Do you even like fish? Do you eat fish?
I eat fish all the time.
Yeah, I had tuna fish tonight.
Yeah, like me too. And I actually like going to this Mexican place where they just give you an entire fried fish, face and all.
Like pan fried?
I don't know how they do it, but it's an entire fish. He's got bones, he's got skulls, he's got teeth.
Sounds metal, man.
Man, it's nuts.
Sounds metal as hell.
I look right into an animal. Like, if I can look into an animal's eyes while I eat it, man, I'm on top of the world.
That was actually breakfast in Japan one day. When previous guests of the show, Phil and I, we were staying at a friend's place in Japan. This was in Osaka. And breakfast was like a bowl of rice, an entire fish, just like you explained it, and some natto. Natto, man, that is, ugh, that is the most disgusting thing ever. Like, I can totally understand arguments for becoming vegetarian and whatnot, or vegan for that matter, and yet natto is the argument for me to not become vegetarian. Because if that was the only option left, I would, and I was vegetarian, I'd probably just go back. Be like, nope, give me the fish, give me the cow that's still mooing or something. I'm going to eat that instead.
Man, that sounds delicious.
Oh, the natto, though, is gross. It's basically curdled, fermenting soybeans.
Well, that's fuck.
Yeah, it's like snot, man. It's like you found somebody else's snot in a bowl that they've been collecting for about a month. Like somebody with a real nasty mucus infection, and they just, like, without even Kleenexing, they just, like, shoot rockets into this bowl, and that's a meal. So, oh god, it's disgusting. I tried. I'm very open to these things, as you know, like trying different foods, but no, thank you. Not, it was gross. It was gross as hell.
Yeah, I would not be open to that. Like, the most I'm open to when it comes to food is like, oh, you want to put some pineapples on my hot dog? All right, let's try that out.
Yeah, yeah. And
some pineapples on anything? All right, let's go for it.
As we found out, like, not as kind of the gaijin practical joke food. They just basically give that for people who did not grow up in Japan to eat to see what their reactions are like. And if you like it, then you're weird.
That sounds weird. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to us. I can't really think of a food stuff that's kind of similar.
Mountain Dew is probably like that.
Probably, yeah.
For, like, Americans, I mean. We give it to other people.
Or pork rinds. Pork rinds are pretty weird.
Well, that's just a great food. What are you talking about weird?
It's fried pig skin, man. It's gross to some cultures. It has to be.
Well, those cultures are weird as fuck, because, man, that shit tastes good.
I thought you were going to say those cultures can suck it. I don't know why. I thought you having, like, a DX flashback or something.
Well, if those cultures don't want to eat fried pig skin, I got two words for them.
You suck. I think that's what you said beforehand. I'm flipping them around now.
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, after watching that video, there was a PETA promotional video where it's just Ron Jeremy talking, like, about his contributions to PETA campaigns and how he got involved. That was way more convincing than the Silent Scream video. I think the Silent Scream video was just, yeah, again, it's just one of those PETA things that just missed all the marks for me. And I'm like, you know what? I almost appreciate what you're doing, but this is just way out of left field. I don't understand the connection at all. And then just watching Ron Jeremy talk, I'm like, oh, I can get behind this again. Yeah. It's not so bad.
He was in Citizen Toxie. He's an all right dude.
Yeah, yeah. And he's just very, like, I mean, basically his argument comes down to saying that, you know, PETA's doing stuff, which is a very vague thing to say. But then he elaborates by saying, they have a website that'll expose you to the controversies that are out there if you're interested, and then it can help you get the word out. Like, oh, you know, like having normal conversation and debates. That sounds way more attractive than watching a fish gasp for air after watching like a kid, a grandmother, and a wife get abused. It's almost like the video for Faith No More.
Epic.
Yeah, it's just that fish at the end.
Yeah, I bet Faith No More thanks their lucky stars every day that they made that video in 1991 rather than 2012. Otherwise, PETA would be so mad at them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Also, how soon is Flounder?
That's beautiful. That's a really great song for Morrissey Fish.
Yep. I'm going to be working all night on more Morrissey Fish puns.
Yeah, I think that's... We're going to have a Twitter war after this.
Yeah, you can send your Morrissey Fish puns to poolpartyradio@gmail.com, by the way.
And that's the lightning round, which brings us to the saddest part of the show, which is the end of the show. If you have any emails, questions, concerns, comments, love that you want to share, or any sort of Smith's aquatic-themed song titles you want to share, you can send them to poolpartyradio@gmail.com. You can find us online for all the episodes, all our links, at poolpartyradio.com. Also look for us on iTunes and subscribe. But be aware that some of our earlier episodes are being taken down as we put new episodes up. So you can always find those earlier episodes on poolpartyradio.com. Follow us on those Twitters and the Twitterverse. You can find Parker at Parker Arizona, myself at Jason Frisbee. Robo John Brown probably does not have a Twitter account yet. I'm certain he's working on it.
I'm in a network mode right now.
Sounds about right. It's very funny that I'm doing this as I'm on my way out.
Yeah.
This is giving me more practice for hopefully a new podcast. Something yeah. like that.
We've given you more responsibility now that you're leaving the show. More responsibility on the show now that you're leaving it.
It only makes sense.
By doing the ending parts. Also Facebook. Facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Like us there. We've had some good ones lately. So we want to keep that train a-rolling. We were recently liked by Juggalo Homies.
Mm-hmm.
And also Juggalos for Charity, like West Coast Chapter or something like that. So that's fucking cool.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
A big Juggalo following, it seems, which is fine by me. And I'm sure that it's fine with John Brown.
Hallelujah, holla back.
So
yeah, it's a nice 120 likes, so we can... Parker's comfortable. I'm sure he wants to see it at 150, rounded off. So
yeah,
obviously that's the next place you have to go.
Yeah, I don't like these odd numbers. So 120 is all right, but 125 would feel better. 150 would feel better than that. So if you guys want to help out with that, please do. Also, we're at an odd number on our iTunes reviews. So if you want to go to iTunes, you can go, just search for us there or go through our website, poolpartyradio.com, and leave us a review and, or a 5-star rating or something, because that would be awesome. And it helps more people find the show. Also, just tell your friends. Tell all your friends about this show. Every single one. Write them an old-fashioned letter with one of those pens made out of feathers, and a bowl of ink.
Using your best calligraphy and writing scrolls. You can send it by pigeon. By arrow pigeon.
Yeah, so I'm Parker for Jason Razorblades Frisbee and Robo John Brown saying, fuck you, Chelios.